This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
No more wincing at the gas station.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. It's astounding how fast and how far the price of gasoline has fallen. This morning, it's below $2 a gallon on average nationwide. Mid-July, gas was $4.11. Of course, that's when oil was $145 a barrel. This morning, it's $50 a barrel. By the way, gas is cheapest in Missouri at $1.69. Alaska is still at $3 a gallon. As for Wall Street, bank stocks are dirt cheap, but no one's touching them until they find out about Citigroup. Rumors are flying that Citi might sell itself or look for a merger. The company denies that, but Citi's board is expected to meet today. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Back in the day, Citigroup was the largest bank in the U.S. Now it's down to number 5. The bank's shares have sunk to their lowest level in more than a decade. Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics says investors are worried that Citigroup will have to take more write-downs associated with bad mortgages and mortgage-backed securities.
What it comes down to is surprises. Everybody believes that somewhere on Citi's balance sheet, there is more subprime paper or collateralized debt obligations that have not been valued properly.
Whalen says Citi's CEO Vikram Pandit doesn't have enough experience as a banker and should step down. But the company's largest individual investor expressed confidence in Pandit this week and increased his stake in the bank. For its part, Citigroup says it has enough capital to stay independent. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
One share of Citigroup is worth $5 this morning. There are plenty of, I don't know if you'd say bargains, but cheap stocks out there. And so Wall Street's doing a bit of buying. The Dow is up 150 points, about 2%, to 7704. The NASDAQ has gained 33 so far. The S&P 500 is up 19. It's only at 772, though. In Asia, the markets closed with 3% gains. European shares are mixed so far. President Bush heads to Lima, Peru today. That's where countries from Asia have decided to hold their economic summit. This group is known as APEC. This will most likely be President Bush's last get-together with other world leaders. More now from Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
The White House wants APEC to sign on to the broad goals outlined at last weekend's G20 summit, like better regulation and more economic stimulus packages. But will the world listen?
President Bush won't have much influence there.
Sidney Weintraub is an economist at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
They'll be polite, but I think most of them know it doesn't matter what he says anymore.
Simon Johnson is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says the president should forget broad goals and focus instead on reassuring Asian countries who invest here.
This is where the economy is going. Particularly, this is how we're safeguarding investments that you and your citizens are making in the United States.
The president could deliver that message in one-on-one talks scheduled with the leaders of China, South Korea, Japan, and Russia. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Hollywood is struggling with the financial crisis fallout. So far this year, DVD sales are down 5 to 10%, depending on who you talk to. And most of that drop has come in the last month or two. Blu-ray discs might fall 25% short of sales projections for the year. Besides the obvious that people are spending less, a survey finds that consumers are still waiting to make sure Blu-ray will be the standard.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org.
Add up all the layoffs in the financial industry so far, and the ones that might be coming, and there will be hundreds of thousands of people looking for work. So what's a banker to do? There's always Dubai, if you don't mind moving halfway around the world and 118-degree heat. But getting a job there isn't as easy as it was even a few months ago. Kelly McEvers has our story.
Last year, when the credit crunch began in earnest, the saying at financial firms was Dubai, Mumbai, Shanghai, or goodbye. Meaning if you wanted to keep your job, you had to be shipped off to one of these emerging markets. Now that things have gotten worse, people are having to make the move themselves. Which brings us to the tale of two Wall Street investment bankers. Banker number one is Long Pham. He first considered leaving Bank of America this spring. A mentor suggested Dubai, which was becoming a major financial services hub.
I said, that sounds intriguing, but I don't know Arabic. And he said, it doesn't matter. 80% of the people in that town don't speak Arabic.
Not long after, Pham had a phone interview with a Dubai investment firm and landed the job, sight unseen. Now he works in an office with a stunning view of Dubai's over-the-top architecture. Banker number two is Desi Dunker. He didn't start looking for a new job until this summer, after he was laid off by Goldman Sachs. His first phone interview with a major Dubai fund was
going great, except when they started talking about my interest in the Middle East.
And Dunker said he had no experience in this region.
Then that was when the tone of the interview changed. And that was when I realized that to make my story much more credible, I had to be here.
So Dunker dipped into his severance package to fly here and stay in hotels while he looked for jobs. He's had interviews with his top two choices, but no offers yet. Zita Yarwood is a Dubai-based recruiter. She says the job market here has gotten so competitive, candidates who once were shoo-ins now have a hard time getting their resumes noticed.
And you go through your file and you've got maybe two or three guys with obviously different names, but exactly the same experience, exactly the same company. So not only are they sort of competing against their competitors, they're competing against their colleagues.
Yarwood says experience doing business with emerging markets will differentiate a candidate from the pack. And some language skills wouldn't hurt either. In Dubai, I'm Kelly McEvers for Marketplace.
We have much more coverage of the financial crisis fallout online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.